Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
3 years covered Iowa, but now is with The Athletic and gets the national forum he deserves. That's Scott Docterman. Scott, how have you been?
I've been great, guys. How are you this week?
Doing really well. You sat down with Commissioner Kevin Warren in Minneapolis. We all know how he had appeared to be gung-ho, pushing about, hey, you know, we're sort of open for business here on expansion. My impression was, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, he seemed exponentially more measured in Minneapolis. How did you view him?
Absolutely. That was the case. I think there was a heavy flirtation that he had with some of the Pac-12 schools in particular, but I think that the measurement comes from the campuses themselves within the Big Ten. I think there's a lot of excitement from most of the universities about adding USC and UCLA. I think there's some interest in adding some of the other schools, but not to the point of diminishing the overall revenue that these schools will generate to pick up even an Oregon or a Washington or a Cal or a Stanford. And so what I've gathered from some of the universities is they would rather stand pat for now, see how this works with UCLA and USC, then decide whether or not to expand further. Whereas I think Kevin Warren a few months ago was intent on potentially adding more schools and now realizes that the schools aren't necessarily going to vote with him. And that's something that rarely happens in the Big Ten, which is, you know, some sort of a debate and one that doesn't end up being unanimous. So I think right now he is much more measured. He wants to, bring in the two new schools collectively and then take care of the ones that are currently in the Big Ten and then see where things are going to go after that.
So, and let me take this maybe in a slightly different direction, because I don't recall seeing any articles written about how USC and UCLA feel about adding people out west. And have you had any read from them if they would like to see somebody out west join them, or do they like being the only show in town?
That's a great question, and I haven't got any kind of answer from there, and neither have anybody else that has really covered that part of the world. And you kind of wonder, do they want to be the singularly Big Ten franchises on the West Coast, or do they want to have those types of travel partners? That's pure speculation on our part that we think that they were going to want to do that. I would anticipate in pretty much every other sport but football, it's going to be essential for them to be able to have that flexibility to play in Arizona or Northern California or even some of the other schools in that part of the world in baseball, softball, basketball, whatever. But I don't know that they can imagine that they're going to have to play in football. So that's really the most interesting part of it. And so what they're trying to do, and next month is when they're going to start meeting with these officials from USC and UCLA to decide what's next and how they bring them in. And I think that's when you'll start to see some opinions being formed and probably discussed as far as whether this is the only area for the Big Ten right now, or if this is just kind of a pause, and then, you know, they'll push play again in 2 years, 4 years, or down the road towards the end of this contract.
Is one of the keys to any kind of thought process early, let's say early is the choice, how the Pac-10 works out its TV deal? Because any TV deal they might work out would include a grant of rights.
Yeah, that's going to be part of it. And I think both the Big Ten and the SEC to an extent, but certainly for the Big Ten, it's, you know, you don't want to disrupt that, and you don't, but you also have to put the ball in those schools' courts. And if you're Oregon or Washington and you think that you have a chance to join the Big Ten, maybe not in 2 years, but, you know, by the end of the decade,
yes,
then I think you need to really focus on whether or not you want to sign that. And maybe the other schools do as well, because or is it a 5-year agreement that they decide to go with ESPN and Fox or whomever? And that way it's done by the time the Big Ten is ready to consider adding. I think those are, it's really in the Pac-12's purview and the school's purview in that part of the world to decide what they want to do, because I think the Big Ten is open for business. I think it's just about a matter of how much revenue each of those schools can bring in to ensure that nobody else loses money because they're coming into the league.
Because I know, I think you've seen the story, and it may have been either John Cannizzaro or John Wilner. Each have done a great job of covering like you have as well. It sounded like when they were talking with ESPN and Fox, they were discussing a five-year deal. And I thought that was interesting to me because then it does deal with timing by the end of the decade.
Yeah, that is the most fascinating part. And that's kind of the years that I've been hearing too. And I think that really what it sets up is kind of this scenario where if they reach that five-year period and Big Ten still has two more years left on its deal, or depending on when it starts for the Pac-12, that it enables everybody to kind of examine their future. Maybe the Pac-12 decides, you know what, this isn't that bad. We're making good money through Fox or through ESPN, and then they don't have to worry about, you know, bolting. Or maybe at that point the Big Ten will be more receptive to adding some of the AAU institutions in the Pac-10, I think we'll probably call it in the future.
Again. Right.
So I think that's probably where things will lie, which means that we're hitting a pause, which probably isn't the worst thing in the world, because the scenarios that we were looking at during the summer, which is, you know, a big 20 instead of a big 16, was something that was difficult to get your head wrapped around.
What role does the money from the college football playoff play in all of this in terms of the thought process of any kind of expansion or an elimination of a conference?
You know, that's really an interesting point, because the fact that they agreed to the 6-6 model,
yes,
which enables six conferences to all participate, I think it kind of eliminates the need to, you know, because everybody now has access to the tournament, you know, the 12-team tournament when it comes about, whether it's in 24, 25, or 26. And so if you're in the Big 12 or if you're in the Pac-10, and you have that same opportunity, so the revenue from that won't be really, you know, won't be hurting you. Now, with the Big Ten, your goals are to probably try to get three teams in every year, your champion, and then maybe your best two runners up. You know, and if you take some of the best assets that are available, maybe you stretch that a little bit to four. But I think the money will be there for everybody, and then the access is there. So I don't think that's going to be the lead component in whether or not a Washington and Oregon to make the push to join the Big Ten.
Because I think then at that point it can make up some ground if that's a possibility. Because by 26, in all likelihood, multiple networks will be carrying the college football playoff, not just one.
That's my assumption, yes. I think the Big Ten is focused on helping its partners, which does not include ESPN, and I think that's been a major factor in why this has drug on a little bit longer, you know, because the Big Ten is, you know, partners with Fox, has been for a long time with BTN, and now with its main college football package. So it wants to ensure that you know, Fox is taken care of, and this is such a big product. I mean, I'd say outside of the NFL playoffs, I don't know that you're going to find anything bigger than this and more have that kind of interest. So I think you'll probably see it on multiple networks, maybe like the AFC and NFC playoffs are on multiple networks.
Does the USC UCLA integration, which he made a point of, a direct point in his press conference, but made a point of to you and your one-on-one exclusive with him, how important is they get this right, because it's a multi-sport integration here before they even think about doing something else?
I think it's pivotal for everybody. And Kevin Warren has a different kind of vision, certainly, than Jim Delaney did. And Jim would have been much more cautious about this. Kevin has a different vision. But I think for everybody within the Big Ten, certainly those two schools, but the remaining 14 schools, that you want to integrate them in the best way possible, because I know there's been some rough periods, you know, and certainly Penn State felt that way, that it was integrated more as kind of jumping in and not paying attention to Penn State. And I think Jim Delaney really had mentioned that with Nebraska and Rutgers and Maryland. And I think there's a desire to make sure they feel like they're a part of the league, and also that their concerns are addressed early, and likewise for the other teams. So one of the things that I know that they've discussed, and it's kind of at a 20,000 foot level, and it will get narrowed down, is you know, the subject of travel for these Olympic sports. Yes. And for basketball. And it has to, because they don't do that now. But if you're Penn State, wouldn't it make more sense, maybe even men and women, to fly to one flight, Los Angeles, and play both teams over a weekend? You know, men's and women's, you know, just flip the locations. Like Friday night, it's USC and Penn State men, and it's UCLA, Penn State women, and then flip it. You know, save some money, save some time. And, of course, with USC and UCLA, why not fly to Detroit and play both Michigan and Michigan State
exactly.
That way?
In fact, you must have been listening to this show, because I'm not going to pretend it's my idea, Scott, but I refer to it as block scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Take your men's and women's soccer teams, your cross-country team, your volleyball team, boom, one plane out to the coast, right?
Yeah.
One hotel. All of them play the two out there. Same thing when they come east. You know whose idea that was? Where I stole the idea from? Joe Paterno. When Joe was trying to form the Eastern All-Sports Conference, that was part of his idea to block. Now, he was talking about buses, okay, as opposed to planes. But he was talking about, hey, look, you know, bus everybody to Rutgers, play a weekend there, boom. You know, and that's where I first heard the idea 40 years ago.
It makes perfect sense, because even on these trips, and we've all been on them, there's a lot of food waste. There's a lot of waste as far as just all the
food. Well, Shabazz Napier says that's not true. No,
well, it probably wasn't for the old Big East or the AAC, but it certainly is for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You know, where you see pizzas lying around after a basketball game and stuff. So you could really save some money that way and time and athletes' time. I mean, they make such a big deal about student athlete welfare. Well, this is one area where they can make some headway. And then, of course, for USC and UCLA, it has to be the same way. I mean, fly to Indy, play Purdue in Indiana.
Yes.
You know, fly to Detroit, play Michigan and Penn State. Fly somewhere east and play Rutgers and Maryland in the same weekend. So that way you just don't have it. And then, but it also opens up some really cool possibilities, say, for baseball and softball. Instead of having these teams take a week-long trip down to Florida, have them all go out to California.
Yes.
Maybe see if you can get Dodger Stadium open for a week and have a Big Ten series. That would be really cool.
That would be great. And if softball's a part of the 28 Olympics, there'd probably be an Olympic softball park to play in at that point down the road, right? I mean, to do a tournament like that. Very quickly, I know you've got you did a great article on Ohio State, Iowa. How badly does each team need this kind of game this weekend?
Well, I think Ohio State, it's probably a good testing ground for Ohio State. They're playing against a defense, a good defense, that really tries to limit big plays. So it's going to be good work for them to try to find new ways to advance the ball that not necessarily relies on the big play. And for them, it's probably crossing routes and running the ball against sometimes a six-man box.
Mm-hmm.
For Iowa, it's going to be fun to see one of the best teams in the country. The problem is that Iowa's offense doesn't measure up at all, and that's the problem. That it's really unfortunate for the defense, because no matter what scenario you see with the defense kind of holding down Ohio State, the offense can't make up the difference. So. I see it as probably about a 4-touchdown game just because of that.
So you're saying Ohio State's defense is better than South Dakota State's?
Huh. Just a little bit. Okay. I think we'll find that out when they're all playing for the Steelers and Cowboys.
Thought I'd just give a measuring stick. Scott, it is always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks so much. Look forward to talking again shortly down the road.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and have fun with the whiteout this week.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.